Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a spectacular day. Watching the Padres play, watching the Rockies and Brewers play. Man, we got so much good stuff for you. Doug Gottlieb Show brought to you by Farmers. Farmers, we've seen almost everything, so we're going to cover almost anything. When it's game time, have an experienced player help you stay ahead of the game. Put their experience into play at Farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
I saw this story, and it relates to what I think will be the story of the offseason in the NBA, which is the story of the season in the NBA, and that's where will Kevin Durant play next season? Madison Square Garden CEO James Dolan is sued for making too much money and spending too much time with his band. Shareholders of MSG allege that Dolan's pay is, quote, excessive, and that his job is only, quote, part-time, due to how much he tours with his band JD and the Straight Shot. In a statement, MSG told the Financial Times news service Agenda, which first reported the news, this lawsuit amounts to nothing more than corporate harassment. The company stands by its policies and its practices. And then you get this from NBA insider Chris Haynes. Quote, this is where this blank is fun. This is where it's serious, and I'm just embracing it. He's talking, this is Kevin Durant, talking about playing in the playoffs. I'm just having so much fun right now. This is the time of year is what I'm geared for. I'm just hooping at a high level and enjoying the competitiveness of the playoffs. You go through such a long season to get to this point, and now it's time to produce. Okay. There's always a why to why people leave jobs. Right? There's always a why. I didn't leave ESPN because I didn't like ESPN. I loved it. I had a great house, lived in a great neighborhood. I worked there for 9 years. I knew everybody from the cafeteria person to the people who worked in every different field because I had worked for ESPNnews.com, magazine, radio, studio, games, daily shows, you name it. I'd worked with everybody. So I had relationships with everybody. Plus my kids went to school or played sports and or I did, you know, mommy and me courses or my little gym and I would meet other people from work. We all belong to the same country club. Like, I had nothing to do with any of this nonsense you heard. I didn't even leave for more money. Same number of years. I was offered a 5-year deal one place and a 5-year deal at the other. But two things. One, if I took the job at CBS, I could move to the West Coast, which would take my radio show, same radio show I have now, 12 to 3. In other words, I'd actually get to see my kids in the afternoon. And that affected me because when you do college basketball, it's 5 months out of the year. You're gone every Saturday, some Sundays, and then days during the week as well. And then, so I'm gone on weekends, 5 months out of the year. And on weekday afternoons. And I thought to myself, for 5 years, that's prime parenting time. My kids are going to get to high school. I'll be done and I have a bunch of money in my bank and I won't know my kids. So you combine that with moving home. My dad was sick at the time. And then I got a chance to do the NCAA tournament. Check, check, check. Win, win, win. And then when I left that place for this place, what was the reason? They had moved me mid-contract. That wasn't part of what we originally discussed. So there was a breakdown in communication, a breakdown in some trust. And I believed in this radio network above all others because like we got Clay, Travis, Dan, Patrick, me, you know, Straight Outta Vegas, Odd Couple, layup. TV people were easy and I liked. We had growing college basketball, got to do some NFL stuff, live in the West Coast, done at 3 o'clock. It's a wrap. There's a reason why. Everybody thinks people make decisions because of money. If you're any good, you're going to make that money back. It's the truth. Going to make the money back. There's got to be reasons. Heck, one reason I came here. I want to be happy. And Kevin Durant has not been happy, right? And he hadn't been happy. What was the reason that he left Oklahoma City?
Well, it's because you couldn't beat him. You joined him.
No, a little bit of that. Because of the construct of Oklahoma City's team, he grew frustrated, not just with Russell Westbrook, it's a little bit. He knew, wherever you go, I mean, look, Steph Curry dominates the basketball. Steph Curry has the ball, makes some turnovers, takes some bad shots. Steph's great and probably easier to play with than Westbrook, but there's some flaws there. Russell Westbrook's much better defensively. You don't have to cover for him as much. But the construct of the team, if you go back and watch when they played the Golden State Warriors, every time he got the ball, there were two guys waiting for him in the lane. Because he had Andre Robertson, he had Steven Adams, two non-scorers. And what the Warriors said was, do you think you're the best player on earth? Kevin Durant said, yes. Well, the guy who everybody else thinks is the best player on earth is LeBron James. And if you come join us, we can guarantee two things. One, you'll get a shot at LeBron James every year. And two, you'll get space to show you're the better player. You don't have to play one-on-two or one-on-three. Play one-on-one. Who's best player in the league? I am. Who's best one-on-one player in the league? I am. You want to show it? You want to think it? Or do you want to show it? Right? That was the argument. That's what swayed him. It's very, that simple. I remember I was at home and I'm sitting there and I'm watching the NCAA. I was talking with my wife and she was like, could you ever watch the NCAA tournament again knowing you turned down the job to work the Final Four? And I said, no. She said, we'll take the job. It's that simple. So why would Kevin Durant leave this great setup for the New York Knicks? Why? Why'd you leave? You're in Northern California. You're moving to a new arena. Because he's in that same... He believed before the playoffs, I'm in that same space. I'm actually the best player. But because James Harden has his own team and has this ridiculously high usage rate, he puts up bigger numbers. Heck, Russell Westbrook's averaged a triple-double the last 3 years. Somehow he's getting more respect than I am because of his stats. Because he's got his own team. And so the thought is, if I can be the guy who saves the Knicks, if I can be the go-to guy, I can put up... He's led the league in scoring 4 times. Like, we've so quickly forgotten, Kevin Durant has shown he can lead the NBA in scoring 4 times over. But look what's happened this postseason. I'm embracing it. I'm having fun. Why is he having fun? Well, he's playing great, and he's winning. Those two things are fun. But he's also getting the, hey, you know what? Kevin Durant might be the best player on earth. Finally! Steph hasn't been great. Klay Thompson's Klay Thompson. He's up and down. Draymond's been way better in the postseason than regular season. But people are only pointing out, hey, you know what? This Durant kid, he's kind of good. And then you factor in, not just that New York hasn't won, hasn't done anything, and there's no promise of even getting to this fun part. Right? Like, do I think they would make the playoffs if Kevin Durant goes there? Sure. And Kyrie Irving goes there? Sure. But is there a guarantee it's going to be this much fun? Like, dude, they literally have not been competitive late in the season in 5 years. You don't just flip a switch and then all of a sudden you're playing like this. I love David Fizdale. Everybody likes David Fizdale. Let me know the last time he was playing deep into the playoffs as a head coach. Hasn't happened. And then you got to work for Jim Dolan. And here's the thing that I have learned in my 3 jobs as a broadcaster and in my 6 or 7 jobs as a player and in my 2 schools that I went to as a basketball player. And I can relate it to every other person who holds a job. A job is only as good as the boss. Right? Is the boss. Look, the reality of Jim Dolan is he is hanging out with the band. He doesn't have anything really to do with basketball. But Once a year, he seems to show up and make an ass of himself in Madison Square Garden. And he is still the owner. And so while the plan as of now is, you guys run basketball and I'm going to play in the band and I'll show up every now and again. That plan can change whenever he wants it to change. Because Jim Dolan owns the team. So we can sit here and say, well, that wouldn't be right. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Owners own. That's a professional sports expression. What does it mean? It's the same reason that Jimmy Haslam employed an analytics department to discover who the best quarterback in the draft was. And then the day of the draft, he goes, yeah, I know you wanted Teddy Bridgewater or somebody else, but we're going to draft Johnny Manziel. Why? Because I'm the owner of the team. And I say what goes. Owners own. And the same reason that the scouts from the Washington Redskins either wanted Josh Rosen or Daniel Jones. And they drafted Dwayne Haskins. Why? Because Snyder's daughter went to school with Dwayne Haskins in high school. Owners own. And so at the end of the day, if you're happy, don't mess with happy. If you compete for a championship, why would you go somewhere where you don't know if you can compete for a championship? And if you're finally getting the respect you deserve. I mean, heck, who among us hasn't been in a job? I remember when I was at ESPN, one of the sticking points, this is a true story, I probably shouldn't share, but I don't care, whatever. I told you, I liked working there. But Mike and Mike had an office. Colin had an office. Nobody else had an office. I had a cubicle, which I didn't mind. I didn't spend a ton of time there, but one of the reasons I didn't spend a ton of time there was it was a cubicle. It was loud. And when I needed a nap, because I would do SportsCenter in the morning and then do all these shows and do my show in the afternoon and then do college basketball or something at night, I wanted somewhere to like just close my eyes or just shut off the sound. And I viewed it as a respect thing. I'm here enough. I do enough. Why do those guys get it? So I actually understand KD's plight. I think many of you understand KD's plight. He's not from Northern California. He likes it, but he hasn't loved it. And one of the reasons he hasn't loved it was people haven't embraced him as being as good as he in his heart of hearts knows he is, because his performance at the key times has been good enough to be deemed at the level that he believes it is. Until now. And so the reason I started with a story about shareholders at MSG suing James Dolan for making too much money and spending too much time with his band only tells you James Dolan, kind of a jerk. Nobody really likes him. And if you're the New York Knicks, you got to be getting really, really nervous. Because 3 months ago, it was a wrap. He wasn't happy, and the Knicks looked like a great landing spot. And now, he is happy, and the Knicks look like the Knicks.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
February 21st, Big Ben is the unquestioned leader of this team. Like I said, he's the elder statesman. This is when Kevin Colbert, the general manager, uttered these words. No, guys, what you're doing is or is not good enough to do this. He's got 52 guys under him. Quite honestly, I think once you win it, you got 53 guys who can say what it took. Right now, he's the only one. I have no problem with him. He can call me out. That's fine. It goes on. Ben. March 24th. Owners meetings. Kevin Colbert on the criticism Ben received from Antonio Brown. Ben's very comfortable with who he is, what he's done, and what he can still do. I don't think it'll affect him because each and every year he's out trying to prove who he is. We're very comfortable knowing Ben is our quarterback and he's our leader. March 26th, Mike Tomlin. I have no problem with Ben's play or his leadership. I've heard some of the scuttlebutt. I have no reaction to former Steelers and things of that nature. March 27th, Art Rooney, owner. I think Ben's record speaks for itself. Ben. They might as well have Steeler bucks that are printed. And on the Steeler bucks, they have Ben Roethlisberger's face, and underneath it, it says, "In Ben We Trust." Like, they have gone all in on Ben Roethlisberger. I'd never seen anything of its kind. Now, this is Steelers general manager Kevin Colbert on Pro Football Talk discussing Big Ben's future.
I know he doesn't have an expiration date. He's still very competitive. He still wants to do this at a high level, and he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't need money. He doesn't need Hall of Fame credentials, in my opinion. He's already achieved both of those. What he wants is more Super Bowls, and he wants to continue to try to win, and you know, we're going to support that.
I mean, like, look, who doesn't want more Super Bowls? He is coming off a remarkably productive year, probably too productive a year, right? Like, if you get to his age, his stature, in his playing career, he's probably doing too much, but he wants more of it. He wants more command, more control, more opportunities, and he's going to get it because they've gone all in on Ben Roethlisberger. And you know what? I'm not sure I disagree with that in many ways. They are riding and dying with Ben Roethlisberger. Last year, he threw for a career high in yards, 51-29. A career high in touchdown passes, 34. They did not make the playoffs. That's fair. He also had tied for his second highest number of interceptions, but he was only sacked 24 times. He redid his contract, but it's fairly reasonable. And while we can say that we can attest that this success of Mike Tomlin is remarkable and that Tomlin has never had a losing record, neither has Ben Roethlisberger. But man, they do sound a little bit like the teenage girl talking about Ben. Ben is just, he's the adult in the room. Ben is just this. Ben is like, enough about Ben. And like the teenage girl, they cannot stop talking about Ben. Ben, 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 Ben. But you know, as much as I'd like to pick apart the love affair, the infatuation with Ben, and say there were times in which he wasn't great last year, he did throw for 5,000 yards, did throw for 34 TDs. He had a 96.5 quarterback rating. He was sacked only 24 times. I'm not sure I wouldn't be all in on Ben, considering what he was able to do last season, and it was a tumultuous season at that.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. And now,
what's up, the Fox? Little Caesars is a place to go tonight. Get $5 Meat Fest for just $9. Excuse me. Get a large 5 Meat Fest. Why can't I read? Can I try this one again?
Go for it.
Let's do it again.
All right, start from the top. Here we go. Everybody quiet on the set.
Quiet. And take three. Action. Little Caesars is the place to go tonight. Get a large 5-meat feast for only $9, featuring pepperoni, sausage, bacon, beef, and ham. The 5-meat feast, only $9 at Little Caesars, plus tax where applicable. Available at participating locations. Canadian bacon will be substituted for ham in certain areas. Isn't Canadian bacon and ham the same thing?
Is that, hold on, Ramos, was that one good? Can we use that?
That's a take.
That's okay. A take. That's right, a take. Good. And I'll be in my trailer. This is Dan Patrick trolling me earlier in the day.
Here's another thing that I think has been lost in this, and Doug Gottlieb is always reminding me that Kevin Durant's the best player in basketball. He's a wonderful player, really wonderful player, improved his defense. He's a great all-around player. But nobody is game planning for Kevin Durant like they do James Harden, the Greek Freak, Steph Curry. They game plan more for Steph Curry than they do Kevin Durant because they're so fearful of the three. Kevin Durant gets single coverage. For the most part, Steph Curry, you know, they flash on him all the time. They're trying to double team him. We know what's happening with James Harden. The Warriors defense is geared towards stopping James Harden. The Rockets defense can't go, oh, we're just going to stop Kevin Durant. Durant has been the beneficiary. Has he played well? Yes, he has. But those mid-range jumpers don't concern the Rockets the way Steph's three does and what that opens up. And with Giannis, the Celtics are focusing on trying to shut down him, one player. And Kevin Durant does not get that.
I'm going to respectfully disagree here. Right? Of course, you're not going to leave Steph Curry and double team Kevin Durant. You're going to leave Klay Thompson. And the reason that Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala have both had, you know, double figure games is because you have two guys that are helping on the other three incredible shooters. And when they set a pick and roll, they hit Draymond Green, and he either goes and scores it or he throws an alley-oop to Andre Iguodala. How many times have we seen that? Like, they're doing the exact same thing as Houston. Houston's playing with one guy on James Harden. Why? If you double-team him, they got the rest of the team spread so far out that somebody's going to get a wide-open shot. Wide-open shot. Yes, they're absolutely game-planning to stop Kevin Durant. Look, some of the letting him get those two, or letting him, trying to force him off his spot and making him take tough twos, that's what you do with anybody, even with LeBron James. Remember, the Indiana Pacers last year, against LeBron James, would let LeBron, go ahead, dude, we'll single cover you, not leave any of your shooters. And it nearly worked. They went to seven games in that series to beat him. Had to go to seven. You know? So the idea they're not game playing for him, they absolutely are. Absolutely are. Look, if you don't think, forget what we think. Here's what Lou Williams and Pat Beverly said after game six of the last series.
We tried everything. All right. So we tried everything. We had several different coverages for KD, and
they didn't work.
Dude, yeah, like sometimes you come across special people, and it doesn't matter what you send to them. It's no scheme. It's no defense. It's no nothing that you can do with special people. He's one of them. And he showed it tonight. He put them guys on his shoulders. And even the game that he came out, he was like, I'm Kevin Durant. Y'all know who I am. And that's a bold statement to make when you're about to go see some guys that's extremely competitive. And he came out that game, and he said, I can really shoot over these guys. And he did it. So it wasn't lack of effort on our part. He's an all-world professional, and he proved himself. He proved exactly who people think he is. Who he think he is himself, and he did it. And you tilt your hat off to a guy like that.
Lou Williams, by the way. Your Honor, arrest my case.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Zach Harper and I have worked together in another place. Now he's at The Athletic. He's hosting the No Look Pass from 1 to 4 on SiriusXM NBA, and of course writes for The Athletic. He joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. What are your thoughts on Kevin Durant? I offer up the whatever it takes to make you happy, that's where you should be. And I felt like the only reason he wasn't happy in Golden State was he wasn't getting the respect that he felt like he deserved. Now he's getting it. Why leave?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, that's kind of the question the Warriors are trying to figure out too, right? Like he's been someone who's been relatively miserable considering the success he's had at a historic level. And when you're Kevin Durant, like I think he thought, all right, I'll go to Golden State. I'll win some titles. Finally, I'll get the respect. And everyone just kind of dismissed his titles. Like not everyone, but you know what I mean? Like the collective was just like, nah, you took the easy way out. And now like he's trying to figure out, all right, how well do I have to play in order to get this? Well, it turns out if you start dropping 40 points every game, then everyone's like, oh, yeah, he's good. Like, of course, it's Kevin Durant. But with him, like, I don't know. Like, it could be possible that, like, he's so good historically and he knows it that he may never be happy with his career. It may always be, okay, what's next, whether it's validation or more championships or more MVPs or whatever. And I just, like, he may just be a guy that just isn't easily happy.
Yeah. Yeah, might be. There are people in life that are happy when they're unhappy, right? They're happily unhappy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he might be one of those guys. By the way, there's breaking news in the NBA. D'Angelo Russell apparently tried to sneak weed through airport security, but did so using a fake Arizona iced tea can. You see the story?
I did not see the story.
Couple things. I'll just point this out. I'm an Arizona iced tea fan. I used to drink Arizona iced teas back before iced tea became the thing. Arizona iced tea was a big thing. A little on the sweet side, they need to water down that formula a little bit. And their Arnold Palmer is a good Arnold Palmer in a can, but again, too sweet. But Who thinks you can get a drink on a plane? You dope. Forget about the. You had a better chance of just weed in the bag than you do a can, right? Like a can draws the attention. You can't get a can on a plane anymore.
No, you can't get. You can barely get anything on a plane anymore. Like I think the move is you gotta roll. You know, you gotta roll some stuff in clothing, check the bag, and just hope for the best. You can't try to carry on like that. That's a heat check. Like I know he takes some irrational shots. That is a heat check.
Wow, that's a bizarre one. How much faith do you have that we'll have a series in Houston?
I don't have much. I mean, obviously, Game 3 is going to be the key to all that, but I don't like the way Houston responded after Game 1, basically making this a woe-is-us look, where this is so unfair, blah, blah, blah. I mean, maybe if you just concentrate on shooting shots instead of trying to get fouled when you shoot shots, you would make those shots and you would beat the Warriors. Like, I think they have all of the makings from a talent standpoint, from a personnel standpoint, from the standpoint of the Warriors are now going through, you know, essentially year five of this. I know Kevin Durant's only been there for three, but year five of just 100 games every year. And so they get a little bit of the wear and tear on their side. But mentally, like, this team just never shows up consistently to take down the Warriors. I know they were up 3-2 last year. That doesn't matter anymore. Like, that was last year. Like, it just doesn't matter. This team just seems too mentally weak. If they don't come out in game three and not only respond to win, but respond in an emphatic way, I just think this is a 5-game series.
I don't know. I think they're gonna win. I feel I pretty strong faith they win game three. They get some calls. I mean, it is interesting that like Harden literally got poked in the eye. Like you see the blood in his eye even now. So I mean, like those claims were totally legitimate in game two, but even then, you didn't feel like he got a bad whistle. Like I actually thought game two was pretty well officiated. If anything, they got a couple calls maybe they shouldn't have.
Yeah, I actually was very impressed with it. Like going into it, obviously it's Scott Foster. Oh my God, Scott Foster's going in, and you know that has its own connotations with pretty much every fan base in the NBA. But I walked away thinking like, wow, that was a really well officiated game, especially after all the conversation leading up to it. You know, I, at a certain point, like I get it. It's part of his game, like hunting fouls and getting teams in foul trouble and getting those free points because he's such a good free throw shooter. I get it. Like it's a smart strategy, but when you're not getting the whistle, don't you have to adjust? Like that was my thing about game one. Like there were like, whether you liked the call or not, it was pretty consistent all game long. And yet they kept going to it. I'm just like, man, you got to be smarter than that. That's the mental part of it. Like, you have to adjust in-game to however it's being officiated, as long as that officiating is consistent.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Zach Harper is my guest from The Athletic Plus. He hosts SiriusXM NBA Radio. All right, let's get to tonight, shall we? You have the Philadelphia 76ers and Joel Embiid, who's might be the most talented player in the NBA, but he's seemingly never healthy. You got the whole Jimmy, don't call me James Butler thing, right? But they are playing at home, and after game one against Brooklyn, they played well at home in the playoffs. Against the Raptors, who you don't know what you're going to get out of Kyle Lowry, but they do have maybe the best player, actual basketball player in this series in Kawhi Leonard. What do you think of game three tonight?
I think it's going to be fascinating to see just how the little matchups here and there are adjusted. Like, is Ben Simmons going to be allowed to be more aggressive and try to get to the free throw line, even though he's not a good free throw shooter? Like, how much time does Kawhi spend on him to kind of disrupt what they want to do? You know, how much can Toronto get away playing one-on-one with Marc Gasol versus Joel Embiid? Because Gasol has actually defended him extremely well over the last couple of seasons in these individual matchups. And then in terms of Toronto, like, you know, they got an adjustment in game two where Philly put Joel Embiid on Pascal Siakam and said, go ahead. Like, that's your guy. Go ahead. Go be, you know, a number two next to Kawhi. And he really struggled into the second half. Do the Raptors go out there and put him into more action at the top of the key and force Joel Embiid him away from the basket and dare him to go defend in space against a very quick, lanky guy? Like, I kind of think those are the three things for me that go into it. And then at a certain point, like, Kyle Lowry, right? Like, if I'm Philly, I make Kyle Lowry beat me. I just do. Like, if he beats you, he beats you. But, like, this is a guy who shoots less and less and less every single year, and this year he hardly shoots at all. Like, I know he's been a big scorer in the past, but it's rarely come in the playoffs, and I would make him beat me.
Let's get to Boston, take it on Milwaukee. Kind of tale of two very different games. What do you think happens in game three?
I expect Boston to come out and win game three. I just think that they'll shoot better at home. I think the role players will be more consistent at home. I think the defensive strategy will be sound. And then I think in game four, Milwaukee comes out there and adjusts, and it's 2-2 going back to Milwaukee. And then at that point, it's, can you win two of these next three games? And with, if you're Milwaukee, two of them at home, it should be something that you're able to pull off. But again, with Boston, it's always, do they like each other enough to pull together? And it's crazy that we're still having these conversations about them, but it does just come down to, they're the most talented team in the East, like 1 through 15. Like, they really are. It's just they rarely play together in a consistent way game to game. I mean, remember we had the Kumbaya cross-country flight. They go into Oakland. They beat Oakland. It's like, oh, they fixed their issues. They lost four of their next seven games. Like, this team just doesn't, you know, they have an up and then they have a down. And until they figure out how to play with each other, I do expect Milwaukee to ultimately come out on top of that series just because they have that chemistry.
Wow, yeah. Really? You really think you like them winning the series? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it goes seven, Doug, but I also think, like, if you could guarantee me that Boston's going to play at their peak, I'll take Boston's peak over Milwaukee's peak. I just don't think they get there.
Yeah. Okay, so then let's get to Portland and Denver. Felt like Denver was, Jokic was just gassed, right? End of the fourth quarter against the Spurs, I saw Henry Abbott's piece on just how tired he was. And then he was great in game one, just killed Enes Kanter. But game two, he seemed to kind of level off, and there was just a lack of juice there. And really, without a spectacular performance from Damian Lillard, Portland goes on the road and gets a win. Do you see Portland win this series?
I had Portland in seven going into the series. I still feel pretty good about that. But if you're Denver, I guess part of me would be very frustrated that I dropped that game at home, because, what is it, like 93% of teams end up winning when they're up 2-0 in a series. But you had so many good shots. I mean, they weren't hitting jumpers early. They went inside. They couldn't make shots inside. They had, counting team rebounds, they had 17 offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter and couldn't dominate on the second chance points. I mean, I think that you have to figure those shots will fall at some point. It wasn't anything Portland was able to necessarily do. You just missed a lot of shots around the rim. And so I think Denver should feel pretty good about themselves, but you can't expect Dame to go 5-17 every game. Like, I think he's going to come out. I actually think that they'll probably leave Portland up 3-1. And then for Denver, it's just trying to survive after that, trying to get back in the series. But I think the Blazers up 3-1 eventually close that out.
It is, and it's amazing, right? With no Nurkic. If they could win this series and get to the Western Conference Finals. On the other hand, what would it mean for Golden State if they get Portland, a team that they've eliminated from the playoffs, you know, in the Western Conference Finals? As good as Lillard is, there's just not the firepower there. What a great, you know, what a nice kind of easy setup before you get to the NBA Finals, where Eastern Conference Finals are going to be an all-out war. Zach, great stuff, dude. Really love your work and appreciate you joining us. Thanks for being our guest.
Thanks, Doug. Anytime.